Thank you, Shannon. Our scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth chapter, reading verses 12 through 23. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I heard about a pastor who had a guy in his congregation that was really, really mean to everybody around him. He was really ugly. He was very cantankerous, very argumentative. And so the pastor made it a point to preach on loving your neighbor as often as he could. And one Sunday, well, every Sunday when the guy was leaving the church, he was shaking hands at the back, he would say, "Pastor, that was a good sermon. I'm glad some of these people heard it." And so it just happened that one Sunday there was bad weather, it was like ice and sleet. And the pastor was about to call the service off when that guy walked in. And he was the only person in church that Sunday. And so the pastor said, "This is my chance." You know, so he gets up there and he starts preaching about love your neighbor, pray for those who persecute you, love your enemies, all that stuff. And he really, and the guy was nodding and nodding. He thought, "Man, I really got through to this guy." And so on the way out, the guy shook his hand and he said, "Pastor, that was a really good sermon. I'm sorry none of those people got to hear it." And I think that's kind of the way we do sometimes with sermons. You know, when I'm off, you know, I'm listening to the thing, and, you know, Elizabeth preaches, you know, solid, really good sermons, but my focus is on, like, well, I hope those people heard that, you know, and not so much on me. And I think that's just a natural tendency. And this passage today is one of those that's easy for us to kind of point to other people. So I'd like for you to try really hard to apply this to you, and not to apply it to yourself generally, but apply it to yourself for this particular day, January 22nd of 2023. Who you are, what your path is, what your experiences have been, all that comes together in this one point, because our lectionary passage is the call of the four fishermen. And it happens fairly, I mean, I bet you, you know, it comes up about two or three times a year. So it's real easy to kind of skip through this thing. And I don't want us to do that. So whether you're young or old, whether you're in elementary school or in high school or in college or in, you know, Scotia Village, whether you are a child or a parent or a grandparent, try to make this yours. Like, try to think about your call. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you consider that for yourself, then you are being called to something. There's no exceptions. You are being called to something bigger than yourself, and something more than just what you might have chosen for your life. And I say, you know, it's so funny. I say this thing a lot. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You know, that was from a Four Spiritual Laws tract that they handed out in college. But it's so true. God loves you. God really loves you. And because God loves you, God has taken the time to plan out your life specifically for you. It's amazing that there's a plan for you that only you have your combination of gifts and experience and abilities to do things that God needs done in the kingdom. So you were born for a purpose. There was a purpose for you being put on the planet. And one of our jobs in living life is to try to find out what that purpose is and what God has called us to. And it's not always clear. So I want you to be thinking, what is God calling you to now, today, that may have been different than the last time you read this scripture? Today, what is different than yesterday? And I want to tell you a story about when one of the times, and there's all kinds of times when you're called, but this is just one of the times when I felt God's call and how it worked out. It was my senior year in college at Wake Forest. When I went to college, my dad, who was, you know, he ran the Morgan Mills and all that, he told me, don't you feel like you have to come back and do this? Don't, just because you're the only son in this family, that you have to come back and be in the textile business. You do what you need to do, what you want to do. You figure that out. And so when I went to college, I had that, he had released me from that obligation that was kind of lurking in the back of my head. And so I went to college and got involved in this Christian fellowship. My faith began to feel really important. I began to lead Bible studies. I felt like God was calling me into some kind of ministry. I was also playing music, and I had a Christian band. Well, it was a Christian band on Sunday nights. On Saturday and Friday nights, we were a fraternity party band. We played. I never pledged a fraternity because I got to play at fraternity parties. You had to pay to be in a fraternity party. I got paid to be at fraternity parties, and I was the center of attention, and that was a lot of fun. And but then on Sundays, we would add a singer, a Christian singer, and we would do his song. So I had some experience in a Christian band. So anyway, my senior year, I went up to Union Seminary in Richmond, Virginia. You know, there's several Presbyterian seminaries. One is Union in Richmond, one is Columbia in Atlanta, one is Union in New York. There's one in Louisville. There's one in Pittsburgh, where Tanner is now. And they're on the West Coast, too. And so I went up there. And here's the thing. You know, my family has this foundation called the Morgan Foundation. And they had made a big donation to Union Seminary. And in fact, my dad was on the board of trustees at Union Seminary. And so when I went up there, the president, Fred Stair, himself escorted me around campus and basically said, we just want you here. You don't need to take the GRE or any of those tests. You just come on. You're going to come on up to Richmond. Come on up to Union Seminary. And I thanked him, and I thought, this does not feel comfortable. And so at the same time, I got asked to audition for a full-time traveling Christian group that I've mentioned here before called Seeds, and I got in. And so there was the struggle of my call. Am I called to go to seminary, which I felt a real serious call to that, or am I called to go into this long-haired Jesus freak rock band and travel around the country doing ministry, Christian ministry? And I decided I was called to the long-haired Jesus freak band. But the people who ran the company, who ran the management company for, they were very serious Christians, very biblical, and they insisted that all the members of the band get the blessing of their parents to be in the band. I was one of the older people in the band. That most of the people were still 19, 18, 19. I was about to turn 22. And so I went home, and I told my mom and dad I need to have a talk with them. And so I sat down in the living room, and I said, I have been invited to join this full-time Christian ministry, traveling around doing music. And so I will not be going to seminary, but they really want to get your blessing on it. And my mom, very appropriately, said, well, what if you never get to seminary? And I thought, well, Maybe I wasn't supposed to go to seminary if I don't ever get there. And then my dad said this, and I was totally blown away. He said, you know, Jim, when I was 16, I got an offer, a summer job to play saxophone in a big band at White Lake, North Carolina. White Lake was a big, like, tourist resort. And there was a house band that played there. And he got, as a 16-year-old, he got offered to get paid to play saxophone in that band at White Lake. And so he went back and asked his parents if he could go and do that for the summer. And they said, absolutely not. No way are we letting you at 16 years old spend the summer in White Lake playing in a band. And he said, I made up my mind right then. If I ever had a son, and if my son ever wanted to be in a band, I would never prevent him to do it. So yes, you can be in that band. Isn't that great? Kind of gets me choked up. But you think about it, and that was God's hand in my life. I learned so many things traveling in that band about Christian ministry. You know, I was just a 22-year-old guy playing keyboards, and I would have, like, you know, 65-year-old gray-haired widowers, men coming up to me crying about their wife who had just died and wondering where God was and wanting me to answer that. And I'm thinking, I'm just a piano player, man. You need to get some really help. And but that band taught me so much. And I think if I had not, if my, you know, it's a sliding doors. If you've seen that movie, Sliding Doors, about whether you do this or that. You know, if I hadn't been in that band and I'd gone to Union Seminary in Richmond, A, I wouldn't have met, well, I had met Annette, but we wouldn't have started dating because we started dating while my band came to her town. Y'all, I don't need to tell you that story. And so, and then we went to Columbia. Annette and I got married and went to Columbia. I went to Columbia Seminary. My first church was Conyers Presbyterian Church, where I met all kinds of my lifelong friends, like Dave Buehler and Jack Becker and all these different people. How different my life would have been if I'd gone to Richmond. My first church would probably have been in Virginia, you know? And it's the way God does it. God has a call that's very specific. And to think that God's call to me started when my dad was 16 and got invited to play in a band in White Lake. You see that? That's just crazy. But that's how specific God is and how concerned God is with you and following your call. This is a big front porch to get to the scripture. We're about to get to the scripture today. But I want you to see that calling is a real thing, and it's very multi-layered and complex, and God is up to that task of doing it. So let's talk about your life, the plan for your life, God's plan for your life, and your sense of call today. Let's start with verse 12. And it says, now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea. Now, I think that's so interesting because it's the only place where you see that Jesus went to Capernaum because John the Baptist was arrested. And what that means is, just it's kind of parenthetically, Jesus did not have a death wish. You know, Jesus did not come just to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus withdrew from the area where Herod could get to him and went north up to Galilee, up to Capernaum, and stayed there. He wanted to have these years of preaching and living out who Emmanuel is, God with us. What does that look like? What do you say? What do you do? And so he went to Capernaum to begin his ministry, but also to put his team together. He knew it wouldn't be just by himself. And we know from other gospels, remember we talked about this last week, that Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist, who was one of those who said to Jesus, where are you going? And he said, come and see. And then he said, can we stay with you? And that was Andrew who told Philip, told Peter, we have found the Messiah. And in the Gospel of Luke, too, it says that Jesus went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. You remember that? So there's a relationship, even though in Matthew he doesn't say it, we know from other Gospels there's a relationship with Jesus and Peter. And Jesus is preaching in the synagogues. Can you imagine what that was like? Think about it. You go to your little dusty small town synagogue and it's Jesus of Nazareth preaching? Seriously. I mean, it had to be powerful. I mean, you know, we know some of it, that he cast demons out of people, but him preaching, it had to have affected Peter and Andrew, because they're in that synagogue and hearing Jesus preach on Sundays, and then having Jesus go to their house, heal their mother-in-law, and all these people bring their sick to him. That had to have been going on. And they go back fishing every day in between that, and it's like the same old, same old. They're throwing their nets in the water. They're pulling in fish, or they're not pulling in fish. They get torn. They have to mend them day after day after day after day. And finally, the question comes up that comes up in every one of our heads, is this all there is? Is this all there is to my life? It's going and putting these nets in the water and pulling these fish out, or not pulling these fish out, and then mending the nets and going home. Is that it? Because I feel like I was made for more. I feel like God put me on this planet for more than just this job. And that's what we all have to come to. No matter what age you are made for more than just survival. You're made for more than just a paycheck. You can have a job, but your job and your vocation may be different. Your calling may be different. So that was the second thing he did. And then the third thing he did, verse 17, he called on people to repent. Verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, how do you feel when you hear the word repent? I feel confused. That's a real Jewish term that has to do with the law and righteousness by the law. And so I don't know exactly what that term means. But I will tell you something else that it means. And Shannon talked about it in the time with young disciples. And I have a different way of saying it. It's a lot less proper. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. And that came from a guy named Bob Lusk. And when we were starting Kingfisher, he was like a nationally known fisheries biologist. And so we invited him to come into Laurel Hill and look at our lake. And, you know, at that time, the lake had been open to the public forever. Anybody that came in there could take 50 fish out on a day. And the fishing was not very good. And so Bob sat there and he did all these different surveys and stuff. And he said, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And in other words, you need to change something if you're going to have a different outcome. And that's what repenting means. That it means you don't change anything. This is it. What you have right now is it. If you yourself don't change something, you're going to keep getting what you're getting out of your life, which may not be enough. And so then when he actually calls the disciples, and they have heard this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. If you keep doing what you're doing, Peter, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. That sense of futility at the end of the day, you're going to keep getting that sense of futility at the end of every fishing day. And that's working on Peter's mind. So it's not as sudden as it seems. In verse 18, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from there, and he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending the nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Can you imagine how the father felt right then? Where are y'all going? they're gone. But it was not, you know, they had been crunching on this after hearing Jesus in Capernaum and in the synagogues and around. They had been working on that. When he said, repent, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. They decided they want to change something. They didn't want to be doing what they've been doing. I imagine their wives were kind of looking at them like, where are you going and how are we going to eat now? I mean, there was a lot going on in that. But what they decided to choose was a vocation, a calling, instead of a job. A calling.
And that's what's in front of me and you today. Every single one of us, we can say no. But if it's just a job, you're not going to have that sense of why you were put on the planet. If it's a calling, you will. Because God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay, so I have some quotes here. There's so many vocations, and you know I'm going to end up with the Buechner quote, because I always do, but you can't hear this stuff enough. But I have a page here, and I'm just going to read some. Some of them are short, and some of them are not short. Amy Starr Redwine is a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor in Virginia, and she said, this is very cool, nothing is wasted. Everything, even the things you think of as your most colossal failures or your deepest regrets, everything is something God can and will use. God calls every one of us, no matter how ordinary or unqualified we think we may be. Our job is to decide how to answer God's invitation. Okay, Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopal priest, and she said this. One midnight, I asked God to tell me as plainly as possible what I was supposed to do with my life. Anything that pleases you. That is the answer that came into my sleepy head. What? I said, waking up. What kind of answer is that? Do anything that pleases you, the voice in my head said again, and belong to me. That simplified things considerably. I could pump gas in Idaho or dig latrines in Pogo Pogo as far as God was concerned, as long as I remembered whose I was. Jim Somerville is a pastor in Richmond, Virginia, and he says very simply, be a Christian and then do what you want, meaning that God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, Will Willimon was the chaplain of Duke Chapel for a long time, and he's a funny guy, but he's also kind of a cranky guy, too. And I think he was in a cranky mood when he wrote this one. But I'm going to read it anyway, because this kind of fills out the whole thing. And then I'll do the Buechner quote, which is so much more soothing. But Will Willimon says, vocation, Christian vocation, is not evoked by your bundle of need and desire what you want. Vocation is what God wants from you, whereby your life is transformed into a consequence of God's redemption of the world. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, don't ever forget, discipleship, working with me, was my idea before it was yours. You didn't search for something fulfilling to do with your life and then choose me. I chose you. And why did I choose you? So that you could have a happier, more fulfilling life? Forget it. I chose you that you might go and bear fruit for me. It's a little harsh. And then the final one, Frederick Buechner. The word vocation comes from the Latin vocare, to call, and it means the work a person is called to by God. There are different kinds of voices calling you to different kinds of work, and the problem is trying to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society or the superego or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this. The kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world needs most to have done. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So what about you? You know, we live in a world that has huge needs. A world full of addiction. A world full of loneliness. The planet does not need more successful people. The planet desperately needs more peacemakers, healers, restorers, storytellers, and lovers of all kinds. And Jesus is calling us all to repent right now, all of us. And not to think about all the other people here that need to repent, but you, me. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. But you can change your life. You can do it differently. And a good place to start is right here at Trinity. Get involved in something. You know, I have people come up to me all the time, could I start this? Yes, we need you. We need you to start. You know, think about being, one way to get involved is just to look at the committees of the church and say, I'd like to be part of Care and Fellowship, or I'd like to be part of the worship, or whatever. But get involved and do stuff for God, because, again, it's that old toaster analogy. When you plug the toaster in, current goes through the cord. The destination is that toaster, but the cord warms up. And we're that cord. We're going to be strangely warmed by that cord. And that's what happens when you do Christian ministry. You warm up by serving Christ. So I'm just going to quote, finish with a song that I hope we can all just sing together. Don't worry, Dad, it doesn't need words. But I think you know it. And I'd like for you to just close your eyes and sing it as a prayer. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning. Let me hear you sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, you know we have served you. Don't you remember? We did it. We followed you. But now we feel you calling us again. We feel you calling us for today and for this week and this month. Lord, give us a vision for what your call is. Help us to stop doing what we're doing and to repent and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.